Ladies and gentlemen, please stand for the arrival of the Mayor of the City of Melton, Councillor Lara Carley, and the Chief Executive, Mr. Kelvin Torrie.
Almighty God, we humbly beseech thee to vouchsafe thy blessing upon this council, direct and prosper its deliberations to the advancement of thy glory and the welfare of the people whom we serve. Amen.
Amen.
Melton City Council acknowledges that the land it now occupies has a history that began with Indigenous occupants, the Kulin Nation. Council pays its respects to the Kulin Nation, elders and descendants past and present. Please be seated. Apologies and leave of absence.
We have an apology this evening from Councillor Rabushi, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Torrie. Item 3, changes to order of business.
Madam Mayor, I rise to move that items 13 and 14 on the agenda be considered together, with Councillor speak up to 3 minutes and the Mayor up to 5.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Moved by Councillor Ramsey. Do I have a seconder, please?
Yes, Madam Mayor.
Seconded by Councillor Hardy. All councillors in favour? Against? Carried. Deputations. Now, we do have a presentation this evening, which I'm very excited about. The 2019 Jerrawarra Festival Street Parade Awards. So I would like to call up the Most Outstanding Achievement, the Most Outstanding Achievement Award went to Kirrup Aboriginal Corporation, and we have Marion and Charmaine in the gallery, if they could please come forward.
Make sure that your award is passed on. The commission is going to put our hands together and give
all those leaders a huge round of applause for the work that they did. It was a hard job actually judging the parade, but well done to all of you. I can see the effort that you put forward as well.
Okay, councillors, we'll move along to item 5, declaration of any pecuniary interest, other interest or conflict of interest of any councillor.
Yes, Madam Mayor, I have an indirect interest under item agendas item 1219 due to a conflicting duty under section 78B of the Local Government Act 1989. As I am a board member of the Western Base, I have notified the CEO as per the requirement.
Thank you, Councillor Maitlick.
Madam Mayor, I also would like to declare a conflict of interest, 12.11. I live in that area. I have a house in that area. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Kozich.
Now, I don't know what I have to say, so I'm just going to go with it. What Cathy said, but just put my name to it, because I'm a board member on the Western Base, and it's an indirect conflict.
Indirect interest.
Conflicting.
Indirect interest.
Indirect interest. Because my conflicting duty from 78B of the Local Government Act, and I've alerted the CEO to that. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey.
Madam Mayor, I also have a conflict on this evening's agenda, and I declare that direct interest in item 19.3, the minutes of the Chief Executive Officer Review Advisory Committee.
Thank you, Mr. Tory. Councillors, will move along to item 6, adoption and confirmation of minutes of previous meetings. Do I have a mover, please?
Yes, Madam Mayor. That the minutes of the ordinary meeting of Council held on the 11th of November 2019 to be confirmed as true and correct record.
Thank you, Councillor Hardy. Do I have a second?
I'd like to second that, Madam Mayor.
Seconded by Councillor Ramsey. All those in favour? Against? Carried. Item 7, Record of Assembly of Councillors.
Madam Mayor, I'd like to move that the Record of Assembly of Councillors dated 11th and 25th of November 2019 and 2nd of December 2019 attached to this agenda be received and noted.
Thank you, Councillor Maitlick. Do I have a seconder?
Madam Mayor, I'm happy to second it.
Thank you, Councillor Kesich. All those in favour? Against? Carried. Item 8, correspondence inward.
Nil, Madam Mayor.
Item 9, petitions and joint letters.
Nil again, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Tory. Item 10, resumption of debate or other business carried over from a previous meeting.
Madam Mayor, I'd like to move item 10.1, 2020 Council meeting schedule, and I would like to move the recommendation as per the officer's report.
Thank you, Councillor Maitlick. Do I have a seconder for item 10?
I'll second that, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Mendes. All councillors in favour? Against? Councillors, we now enter into debate.
Madam Mayor, I'd like to reserve my right of reply.
Okay. Councillor Turner.
We're talking about the meeting schedules, correct?
Yes, Councillor Turner.
I just feel it's a waste of time and money going down to Carlisle's meetings. I know it's important to go out and see the community and have the community visit our meetings, but we've been going down for over 12 months now. The number of people that come, you can count on one hand, unless there's an issue, and if there's an issue, they'll be in this chamber. It just, to me, it just doesn't make sense, not specifically for us, because we can go any place, that's our job, but for the officers who are working here every day of the week, and they get taken away from their work, broken in the middle of the afternoon to go down to Carlisle, to Springvale Burnside, I just feel it's a waste of time, of officers' time, and a waste of money, to be honest. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Councillor Maitlick. Does any other councillor wish to to speak?
Because once I speak...
Councillor Mendes?
I'd like to put an alternative motion forward to see if we could change it to, say, 3 meetings a year down there and at least give those residents a chance, rather than just what we've got now. So an alternative motion to give 3 the residents of Burnside a chance to have the meeting at their centre. So I would suggest we say that 3 meetings, an alternative motion to pass 3 meetings a year at the Burnside Centre to allow all residents some form of equal opportunity.
Sorry, Madam Mayor.
Yes, Councillor.
It's a point of order. I don't like doing this, but...
Councillor Ramsay, go ahead.
Councillor Mendes seconded the recommendation as put, and now there's an alternative being sought. I need to know where the discussion or debate takes place.
Madam Mayor, point of order, can perhaps Councillor Mendes's be a foreshadow notice of motion should this one fail?
That would be the correct course of action, Madam Mayor. Either that or to seek the mover's consent to a variation to the wording.
I don't consent to the variation of the wording, but I'm happy for it to be a foreshadow should this one fail.
Right.
Councillors, are there any other councillors that wish to speak in regards to item 10? Not Councillor Laidley.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Madam Mayor, I don't think it's a waste of time to have meetings at Burnside. I think it's a positive that our council is more accessible to other residents by holding the ordinary meeting of council in Burnside. The Burnside Community Centre is a great facility that showcases to our residents the investment that we place in our community. It allows a more fairer distribution of meetings held for our residents who may not be able to make it to the Melton Chamber Rooms, and it allows a greater option for us as a council to be considerate for our greater community. I would never think that making ourselves more accessible is ever a waste of time for our community, and therefore, Madam Mayor, I would like to support this notice of motion.
Thank you, Councillor Maidlig. Is there any other councillor that wishes to speak in regards to this motion?
I'm just going to say I may have seconded it, but I'm not in agreement with having every meeting down there in the format that it's in now. I know I've seconded it, but I wanted to have a foreshadow.
Madam Mayor, point of order, I have spoken, so that
is... Thank you, Councillor Maidlick. Councillors, I'm going to put it to the vote. All those in favour of the recommendation before us that Council adopts the following Council meeting schedule, dates and locations for 2020 with all the meetings to commence at 7 p.m. All those in favour? All those against?
Can I call a division, Madam Mayor?
All those in favour? Councillor Maidlick, Councillor Kesich, Councillor Ramsay, Councillor Carley. All those against? Councillor Hardy, Councillor Mendes, Councillor Turner, Councillor Sevilla. I have a casting vote, so councillors, I vote in favour, so the motion is carried. Thank you. Councillors, item 12.1. Oh no, sorry. Sorry, councillors, my apologies. Item 11, public question time.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. We have a number of questions this evening. First, questions have been submitted by Harpreet Singh. Is Mr. Singh is in the gallery? Mr. Singh has 2 questions. First of which is, vehicle traffic flow improvement on Westwood Drive is the subject. I understand my question has multiple subparts, but the underlying intention is to know if Council is actively planning to improve the traffic flow on Westwood Drive between Rockbank Middle Road and Ballarat Road, and what options it is working on. What is the measurable traffic criteria before which Westwood Drive will be transferred to VicRoads for further expansion? When was the last traffic survey conducted for the roundabout at Westwood Drive and Rockbank Middle Road and the traffic lights at Westwood Drive and Ballarat Highway? What were the analysis findings with respect to the following items. One, number of cars travelling from Westwood Drive turning left or right and going straight across Ballarat Road. Two, any increase in number of vehicles noted along Westwood Drive since the opening of the new bridge. Three, average time for a car travelling from Rockbank Middle Road roundabout to Ballarat Road in comparison to peak and off-peak hours. Were the numbers supportive for the business case for expansion of roads, addition or redesigning lanes in that precinct? Should a new traffic survey be conducted to capture vehicle movements in that precinct, if none has been done since opening of the bridge on Westwood Drive? And the second question is, with new school, community centre and increased number of dwellings in Modena Estate in Burnside, there are more pedestrians crossing Westwood Drive for bus access, walkers to Brookside College, Burnside Primary and other, etc., combined with higher vehicle traffic as a result of the new bridge. It's becoming difficult for pedestrians to safely cross Westwood Drive, and at times risky situations can be noted. Can Council investigate and install pedestrian crossings with flashing amber lights near the roundabout of Westwood Drive and Rockbank Middle Road? The Luke Shannon General Manager Planning and Development will provide a response.
Thank you, Harpreet, for your questions. There's obviously a multitude of questions in there, so I won't possibly be able to answer them all in detail tonight, but I will give you a detailed written response following tonight. You're obviously aware that with the recent opening of the Westwood Drive Bridge, that was significant in terms of traffic volumes for Westwood Drive, and that was always the plan for the Eastern Corridor. The Westwood Drive road is a significant north-south connector that actually connects the Calder Freeway to the Princess Freeway at Williams Landing, so it's significant in terms of the Western Corridor of Melbourne. Council has undertaken a traffic survey earlier this year, so traffic volume numbers, and I can provide you those details when I respond to you in writing. We also undertook what you would call a corridor study for the Westwood Drive to actually undertake further analysis of what works might be needed at a range of intersections. As I've said, we do have traffic volume details for the length of the road. We have not undertaken a detailed assessment of the intersection with the Ballarat Road. That's an area of responsibility for Vic Roads. We do anticipate that Westwood Drive will be handed over to Vic Roads in the fullness of time as a metropolitan arterial road. However, it's still under Council's responsibility. We have undertaken some pedestrian improvement works in the vicinity of Lexon Drive, and providing a pedestrian refuge to make it easier to cross at that location. Again, as I said at the start, there's a range of questions you've raised. I'll provide a detailed written response to you following tonight. Thank you.
Next question, Madam Mayor, is from David O'Connor, who's in the gallery. He asks, I make reference to Agenda Item 12.15, Contract Number 19/042, Stan Payne Reserve Upgrade, and public question raised at the ordinary meeting of Council, August 2019. The official response from Council undertook to distribute the updated concept plan to the community in the coming months, and an attached copy of the letter of response is submitted. Given that the plans are currently at the contract approval stage, this would suggest that residents have no additional opportunities to provide feedback. The final concept plans remain a mystery to the wider community, especially residents who are not connected to the stakeholder organisations with direct interest in the reserve. In accordance with the attached written response, does Council intend to distribute the updated concept plan to the community anytime soon? And again, General Manager Luke Shannon to respond.
Thank you, David, for your question. As you rightly point out, Council is a subject to a report tonight to award a contract for the renewal of the reserve in question, the Stan Payne Reserve. Council has undertaken extensive community consultation, particularly earlier this year, which consisted of community drop-ins, a survey, meetings with various community groups, and that helped inform the development of a final plan for the improvement of that reserve. I will undertake to forward a copy of the plan to you and to all those groups who've been involved in the consultation to date. The provision of that plan to you was not intended to elicit further feedback. That feedback has been gained through the consultation undertaken to date, but I will provide you a copy of the final plan and a program of work should Council award a contract tonight for those works to commence. Thank you.
Second question from Mr O'Connor reads, in accordance with the ordinary meeting of Council October 2019, would Council please provide an update with respect to Notice of Motion 659 submitted by Councillor Carley regarding the request to install safety barriers and the reduction of speed limitations along Vineyard Road, Diggers Rest. And again, Mr Shannon to respond.
Thank you, David. Council officers following Council's resolution have written to the Department of Transport seeking for those works to be undertaken and also to have a meeting on site. We're still awaiting their response. We hope that that will be achieved soon so we can try and progress this matter further. Thank you.
Next question is from Jason Black, and Mr Black is not in the gallery this evening. In accordance with Council's meeting procedure local law, for a public question to receive a verbal response at the Council meeting, it's a requirement that the submitter be in the gallery. As Mr Black is not in the gallery, a written response will be provided to his two questions that were submitted this evening. Next question is from Michelle Spatiri, who is in the gallery. First part of the question is, Troops Road South is currently undergoing resheeting works, and whilst the road conditions have slightly improved, this will be short-lived. The road will see increased traffic as a result of the resheeting, meaning it will deteriorate it faster, and the new material is still producing significant dust plumes. What are Council plans to maintain this new material to minimise dust, and how often will this occur? And the second question in the same subject vein is, in 2014 the first 800 metres of the road was spray sealed, and this has proven to have helped up against the increased traffic, or to have held up, I think it should read. Given the cost of resheeting, grading and maintenance, surely spray sealing will be a more cost-effective measure to minimise dust plumes and improve road safety. Will Council commit to spray sealing Troops Road South as an interim measure to minimise dust and improve safety of the road? Again, Mr Shannon, to respond.
Thank you, Michelle, for your questions. As you rightfully point out, over the last couple of weeks, Council has undertaken major reworking and resheeting of Troops Road South. Time will tell as to how that performs. The dust will settle down over the forthcoming period, but in my written response, I'll indicate to you how frequently we intend to maintain it, and certainly we will continue to observe how, as I said, the road performs now that it's had a major reworking. In relation to the previous work that Council has undertaken on Troops Road South, we actually did what's known as a recycled asphalt treatment adjacent to some of the dwellings in the vicinity of Greggs Road, and that has held up quite well given the volume of traffic that it's faced over recent times, and certainly has suppressed the dust. The full construction of Troops Road South is a multi-million dollar job, so it's certainly not something I'm going to commit that Council will do tonight. I certainly don't have the authority to do that. Council has, in the current financial year, committed to commencing construction of the boundary road section of road between Mount Cottrell Road and heading in an easterly direction towards Hopkins Road, and that is its key priority in terms of a strategic link between Melton, if you like, and Werribee and Melbourne. There's a significant length of road there that needs to be sealed in conjunction with the City of Wyndham, and our primary focus at the moment is that section of road, and then Council will turn its mind to what priority Troops Road South might form following that. Thank you.
And that completes public questions this evening, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr Torrey, and thank you to the members of the public who have submitted in those questions. Councillors, could I please draw your attention to item 12.1, presentation of staff reports.
Madam Mayor, could I move in block the following items?
Item 12.2, 12.5, 12.6, 12.9, 12.10, 12.18 and 12.20 and move all the reports as per the officer's recommendation.
Sorry. Councillor...
It's not in block. 12.1's not in block.
It's not in block. Yep. Councillors, Councillor Maidlick has moved certain items in block. Do I have a seconder for those?
Yes, Madam Mayor, I would like to second it. Thank you.
Seconded by Councillor Kesich. All those in favour? All those against? Carried. Just for members of the gallery, councillors have moved items 12.2, 12.5, 12.6, 12.9, 12.10, 12.18 and 12.20 in block, which means that councillors have agreed to the officers' recommendations that are in tonight's agenda.
Madam Mayor, could I also move 12.1 with the addition of a footnote to state that it's not mandatory to meet more than one criteria on page 31.4 under the Policy Review Panel meeting minutes.
Moved by Councillor...
I'd like to second that, Madam Mayor.
Seconded by Councillor Ramsey. All councillors in favour? Against? Carried. Councillors, will move along to item 12.3, Councillor Representation Nominations Advisory Committee meeting minutes, the 6th of November 2019. Presenter, Mr. Kalatori.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Councillors, the Councillor Representation Nominations Advisory Committee met and considered representation on a variety of advisory committees and external organisations for the coming 12-month period. The minutes of that meeting are attached as Appendix 1, which details each of the representations that are proposed, and the motion, the recommendation, sorry, is that Council note the minutes of the Council Representation Nominations Advisory Committee meeting that was held on the 6th of November, adopt the recommendations arising within those minutes, note the disbanding of the Ravenhall Prison Project Community Advisory Group and the addition of the Ravenhall Community Advisory Group to the schedule of committees and external organisations, and finally, be represented at the Ravenhall Community Advisory Group by Council officers.
Madam Mayor, there is an amendment to that recommendation. The League West Committee, the nomination is Councillor Ramsey.
Thank you, Councillor Hardy. So, Councillor Hardy, do you move the recommendation that's before us with that addition?
I move that, Madam Mayor.
Moved by Councillor Hardy.
Sorry, Madam Mayor, just some clarification.
Yes.
I believe Councillor Mendez has two other committees there that she wants to amend prior to us voting.
Okay. Councillor Mendez?
Someone could actually tell me exactly because there's so many.
We're on item 12 points.
I know where you are. There's so many committees.
Okay, can I...
For clarification, please.
Can I just state that Councillor Turner has come off two of the committees as substitutes. One of them is the Melton Fire
Prevention Committee.
Yep. And the other one is the emergency one. Councillor Carley and myself are going to be substitutes.
I'm happy to second that.
Okay.
Councillors, does any other councillors seek clarification at all in regards to item 12.3? If not, it was moved by Councillor Hardy. Do I have with the amendments, the three amendments? Do I have a seconder for that? Councillor Mendez.
I'm happy to second that, Madam Mayor.
Seconded by Councillor Mendez. All those in favour? Against? Carried. Councillors, 12.4, Creative Melton 2030, A Vision for Libraries and Art. Maurie Heaney.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Councillors, I'll be very quick with this one. Creative Melton, which is the document attached to the report,
The 2030 is a unique vision for our city. It's an integrated plan that identifies a number of priorities for cultural development and builds on Council's investment in and community support for libraries and, of course, the arts for the next 10 years. Development of this plan delivers on Council's commitment in the Council Annual Action Plan of 1920 for the development of this strategy. Creative Melton 2030 has been developed in consultation, most importantly, with the Council's Arts and Culture Advisory Committee, and the community through surveys and directed community engagement. The plan puts forward a vision for a vibrant city that values our libraries and, of course, the arts and culture. That's essential for the community as far as health and well-being. There are four main themes that are attached to this document, which are about access, connectivity, engagement, and the last one being growth. The document itself, as I said, I won't go through the whole document, is attached. It has around about 79 actions for the two-year time frame that's proposed in the document. The feeling is from officers that after 2 years would report back to Council, present the following 2 years of the way forward in the next actions, and obviously from then we'll have a new Council plan and health and wellbeing plan that may inform this, the actions even more. As I said, it has been developed with a lot of community engagement and in the way of forums, community members, the advisory committee, which I talked about, and also the draft Creative Melton 2030 plan was received by the advisory committee on the 17th of September 2019 and obviously recommended for public consultation. The plan was released for public consultation on Council's website back in the 25th of September to the 11th of October 2019. Our Creative Melton, as I said, 2030 is a vision for the library and arts, and again, talking about the two-year action plan. Madam Mayor, I just put forward to you the, of course, the Creative Melton document, as referred to in Appendix 1, and the action plan attached to that document for the next 2 years being 1920 and 2021, and that is referred to in Appendix 2, Madam Mayor. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr Heaney. And Mr Heaney, may I just please ask that you thank your staff, Troy Watson, Susie and Madeline, for the great work that they've done in regards to not only our libraries but in the arts as well for our municipality. They have taken the arts to another level, and also our libraries as well. So if you could please thank them for the great work that they do in regards to...
Thanks very much, Madam Mayor. I'll pass that on to the staff that have been involved in this.
Thank you, Mr Heaney. Councillor Ramsey?
After those wonderful words, I don't think I want to ask my question anymore. The community hub that will have the performing arts element, right? When is the report coming to Council? And I know that we have to wait for the feasibility study, which is given us an action plan for 2 years. And I want to know how long before we get a report to Council with the location and the feasibility study.
Do you, Madam Mayor? So the feasibility study, or the work for the feasibility, has commenced. You'll note that the action is listed in on page 144 of the action plan as a priority now. No, it doesn't say build it, because we don't know what we're going to build till we get the feasibility, Councillor Ramsey. So hopefully by April, May, we're thinking next year, July. Or Joe's saying. So that report will come back to Council as per the previous recommendation.
That'll be the feasibility study. What about the report for locations?
Do you want to say?
So through you, Madam Mayor, the feasibility and scoping study will consider locations and the site requirements for a facility, and then we would, as part of that, do an options appraisal on what's the best site for it to be located on. But we'll come to brief Council before the final report in July.
So we'll get a report for both roughly July.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And Madam Mayor, if I can just add to that, that that's been an endorsed position of the Council and has been funded to do this work in the last budget.
Are there any other councillors that wish to comment before I put it to the vote?
Can I have a mover, please, for the recommendation?
Yes, Madam Mayor, I'm happy to move this, and also Councillor Heaney. Made you our 10th councillor. Mr Heaney, if you could pass on my congratulations to you and your team for a great strategy. I know that our libraries have livened up in the last few years and everyone's calling them the community lounge room. So well done to you and your team.
Thank you, Councillor Maidlick. I'll pass it on.
Thank you, Councillor Maidlick. Moved by Councillor Maidlick.
I'd like to second that, but bring on the performing arts facility.
Seconded by Councillor Ramsay. All those in favour? Against? Carried. Item 12.7, response to notice of motion 641, Councillor Bushy, options to address traffic congestion and safety issues at Boronia Drive Recreation Reserve.
Madam Mayor, can I move this as per the recommendation with just adding an element to have this item considered at the next budget deliberations for February 2020, please?
The recommendation is being moved by Councillor Maidlick with a third dot point. Do I have a seconder?
I would like to second it, thank you.
Seconded by Councillor Kesich. Any councillors that seek any clarification? If not, I'll put it to the vote. All those in favour? Against? Carried. Item 12.8, response to notice of motion 652, Councillor Carley, explore options to extend the Hillside Recreation Reserve Pavilion. We'll be hearing this report from Mr Heaney.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Again, as you probably touched on, this was raised as a notice of motion some time ago, on the 16th of September this year, and it reads that Council officers, in consultation with the existing users, which are the Hillside Sharks Football Club and Sydenham Hillside Cricket Club, explore options to extend the Hillside Rec Reserve Pavilion to provide additional space in the club rooms and to cater for high-volume users, and the report also to provide costings and options and come back to Council, of course, at this meeting being the 9th of December. So we have engaged with the club councillors, being the two clubs that I talked about. The Hillside clubs are situated in Royal Crescent, down in Hillside, and have been there for quite some time and has grown dramatically as far as the amount of users that utilise that facility. The facility itself has had a few additions in the past and renovations, and some of those are listed on the top of page 167. So from the engagement with the clubs, it's important that we have done that and gained the feedback from the clubs, if you like, and they're listed on page 167, which is about the social space to have capacity of around about 200 people, which basically would take it to nearly a 200 square metre social space. It talked about the kitchens and also some flooring in the social space that the club identified as an issue, which will probably be addressed as far as an operational budget, I believe, but for the purpose of the engagement, we've listed that in this report. And obviously a more functional kitchen bar area required, including increased store area for fridges, etc. So that's what come out of the engagement. I suppose the main thing is to note, when we've done these costs, there have been estimates only based on the Rawlinson's Australian Construction Handbook at this stage, depending on if this proceeds or not. If I can point you to Appendix 1, and it shows you the existing facility, which currently has a social space of about 134 square metres, thereabouts, so that's what it is. And it looks at options to extend that social space and renovate the internals of the facility. But doing that will need to, it has potential to add existing amenities to the facility to cater for that extra use. So one plan shows you as is, another plan shows you options to extend, and there are only options, and talks about the new bar store relocating the umpires change, and also, most importantly, as requested from the club and dealing with the notice of motion, increase potential to increase the social space to around about 190 councillors at this stage. But further work will need to be considered before we have firm costings for that. The indication at the moment, it's around about 417 or thereabouts thousand, I just can't find in the report, estimated only, 411, sorry, and as I said, that's just based on raw estimates at the moment. We haven't progressed to do further designs or concepts because that comes with a very high cost in itself. So, really, Madam Mayor, it's just for the Council to receive and note this report as far as the notice of motion request.
Thank you, Mr. Heaney. Are there any councillors that seek any further clarification? If not, I'll ask if Councillor Turner could please chair the meeting, as I'd like to rise to move this response to notice of motion. I'd like to move the recommendation that, one, that Council note this report, and, two, refer this project to the 2020-21 budget deliberations.
Item 12.8, a move by Councillor Carley. Do you have a second for the motion?
I'll second it, Madam Mayor.
Second by Councillor Mendes. Does any Councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour of the motion? I declare the motion carried.
I call for a division, please.
Division called. All those in favour of the motion? Motion. Councillor Sabir, Councillor Carley, Councillor Meadick, Councillor Keswick, Councillor Hardy, Councillor Ramsey, Councillor Mendes, and Councillor Turner. I declare the motion carried.
Thank you.
Division.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Councillors, will now move on to 12.11, Planning Scheme Amendment, C202, Comprehensive Development Zone, and we'll be looking...
Madam Mayor, I have a conflict of interest. I need to depart.
Sorry. Councillor Kesich, my apologies. Councillors, we'll move along to 12.11, Planning Scheme Amendment, C202, Comprehensive Development Zone, and we'll be hearing this by Laura Jo.
Madam Mayor, I'd like to move the item as per the recommendation.
Okay. I have a mover for the recommendation, moved by Councillor Maidlick. Is there any Councillor...
I'll second it, Madam Mayor.
Seconded by Councillor Mendes. All those in favour? Against? Carried. We'll just call Councillor Kesich back into the chamber. Councillors, moving along now to item 12.12, planning application PA 2017/5728, use and development of a place of worship at 171-197 Harkness Road, Harkness. And the presenter will be Mr. Baggio.
Madam Mayor, I rise to inform that I have an alternate motion.
Thank you, Councillor Hardy. Councillor Hardy, we'll hear from Mr. Baggio first, but thank you for alerting me to your alternate. Mr. Baggio.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. So as Council will recall, this has been a fairly contentious planning application, which I guess has been on Council's books, so to speak, for quite some time. In basic terms, it's an application to use and develop a site on the eastern side of Harkness Road for a place of worship, specifically a mosque. The land is quite a large parcel of land, just over 10 hectares in area, and essentially it's being proposed to utilise the front portion of that land for the proposed place of worship. Essentially, the application entails a building or a worship hall with an area of almost 700 square metres to be used by the Melbourne Islamic Centre Limited. The application indicates that that the maximum number of people that would be on the site at any one time would be capped at 60, and it's proposed to enable people to visit the site at least up to four times a day for prayer. The proposed building itself is fairly contemporary in design and constructed in a range of materials. A council will recall that this application was previously considered by it at its meeting on the 30th of April 2018, and essentially council, deferred consideration of the application to enable soil stability, land subsidence issues to be further investigated before the council further considered the application. So, since that time, the council has commissioned a number of consultant reports to investigate that soil stability issue. The first report was prepared by Dr. Dalhouse from Federation University, and then that was followed up by a peer review of that particular report that was conducted by a company called Golders. In essence, I guess you could summarise the report's findings as acknowledging that the soils were particularly characterised by being particularly reactive in this area, but it found that notwithstanding that it was possible, subject to certain engineering standards, for buildings and associated development to be developed on the site. So at the time that the application was first considered, the advertising of the application generated around 170 objections, and those objections were around the suitability of the land for a place of worship, that it was considered that the use was excessive in terms of the hours of operation. There were concerns from local residents about the increased traffic and the traffic safety issues, particularly on this section of Harkness Road, which is an unsealed section of Harkness Road, and just the impact on the amenity of the area in terms of increased noise and concerns about the rural lifestyle of surrounding residents being affected. So it's probably reached a point now, Madam Mayor, for Council to consider the application and determine the application. From a soil stability perspective, the Council solicitors have reviewed the investigations that have been carried out, and essentially their recommendation to Council is that it should place little or no weight on land subsidence in determining whether or not to grant a permit in respect to the permit application, and that this issue can be acceptably addressed via conditions on permit should council determine to issue a permit for the use. So that's a soil stability issue. In terms of an assessment of the proposal against planning policy, it's acknowledged that the proposal, it could be argued, doesn't technically comply with the council's adopted Western Plains North Green Wedge Management Plan, because it's just outside an area which is identified for that could accommodate urban type uses such as schools and churches. However, it's considered that, given the characteristics of this area, which is, as I mentioned before, a sort of a mix of rural residential type development, and the fact that it's not an area which is considered to be of high quality from an agricultural perspective, that this sort of use could be considered to be appropriate for the site. The other issue is access to the site, particularly, as I mentioned before, this section of Harkness Road between, I guess, the edge of the Arnolds Creek Estate and the site is unsealed, and it's proposed that in the event that the council did issue a permit for the development, then it would be subject to that section of the road being sealed with a rural seal, a spray seal. So on that basis, Madam Mayor, it's essentially recommended by officers that council support the application in accordance with appropriate and stringent conditions. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Baggio. Councillor Ramsey.
I have just one question. It says there'll only be 60 on site at any one time, yet the facility they're planning to build is how big? How big is the facility they're planning to build? I know it's in the report.
Through you, Madam Mayor, the building is in the order of, well, it's 693 square metres, so it's almost 700 square metres.
It just seems terribly large for something that's only going to house 60 people at any one time.
I do acknowledge that, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Are there any other councillors that wish to... Councillor Turner?
Mr. Baggio, the sealing of the road, it will be conditioned on the permit. What do we expect that to cost? Because I believe last time there was a permit issued, it was in the millions, or at least $1 million to do it, and the property was never developed.
For you, Madam Mayor, it's in the order of around $800,000.
And that would be a part of the planning permit? If that wasn't done, it couldn't be built, is that correct?
Well, it'd be a condition of the planning permit that it be done. Well, it's up to council how the condition is triggered. I think the report indicates that it should be done prior to the use commencing. Mm-hmm. So that's generally the sort of wording that we use with these sort of conditions. Okay.
Thank you.
Excuse me, Madam Mayor.
Madam Mayor.
Councillor Maidlink.
Madam Mayor, I've got a couple of questions. In regards to the sealing of the road, is the applicant aware of the cost of that sealing of the road? And if we were to give them the permit with the condition of the sealing of the road, can they take that part of that element of the condition to VCAT and essentially get that part of it removed?
Through you, Madam Mayor. In relation to the first condition, I don't know the answer to that. I haven't personally spoken to the applicant in terms of the costs for the road. However, it should be noted that the condition was actually imposed some time ago as part of a previous permit that was issued for a place of worship at the direction of VCAT. The permit was originally issued for a place of worship back in 2012, and then subsequent to that, there was an application to amend the permit, and that was refused by council. Went to VCAT. VCAT determined that the permit should be amended, subject to the condition for the sealing of the road. In terms of your second question, it would be possible if the council decided to support the application, issue a permit or notice of decision, that the conditions could be appealed at VCAT.
Councillor Ramsey.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. When we're talking about the seal, are we talking about a full solid seal, or are we talking about a rural one, or what are we talking about? Because noting that the cemetery is going to be there, it's going to have a lot of traffic.
Through you, Madam Mayor, it's essentially a spray seal, which is a rural standard road seal.
Thank you.
Any other councillor Mendes?
So the section of Harkness Road to Minns Road that is currently still uncompleted, who will be responsible for that? Because it all connects to those areas. I'm just curious that half of it's not done, it's still a rural road. Harkness to Minns, so you've got Minns Road, it runs up to Harkness Road, part of it's still unsealed.
Yeah, so that'd be beyond the site. So there'd be, it's not proposing that there be any requirement, there wouldn't be any nexus between this application and the future construction of that road.
Okay. Councillor Hardy.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Mayor. If the road is going to go through an area where it has potential reactive soils, spray seal may not be appropriate as it will unsettle the soil conditions. Is that a fact?
I can't answer that. I don't have any expertise in terms of road construction.
Thank you. Part B to the question would be if it's problematic to the spray seal, they may have to go to depth. Would that also alter the cost of $800,000?
Mr. Shannon.
Madam Mayor, if it's okay, I'll answer that because I've got some background knowledge. The Harkness Road currently to the south of this site is already sealed, and that's been done over a number of stages. The most recent stage, council actually constructed for around about $1 million. That was perhaps 4 or 5 years ago, and then the Arnold's Creek Estate did a section adjacent to their site. With the exception of the Arnold's Creek frontage, the whole of that road, to the extent I spoke of, is constructed to a rural standard. So it has depth to the gravel, which is formed up, and then there's a spray seal put over the top, and it's survived perfectly well over 15 to 20 years that section of Harkness Road has been constructed to that standard. So I would expect, I have no reason, I'm not an engineer, a structural engineer, but based on what I've seen built to date and has survived to date quite well, I would expect that any future extension of that would stay in a similar state.
Yeah. Madam Mayor.
Yes, Councillor.
Just a comment. In the government report commissioned through Parliament and authored by the geophysics, there is a comment in there that should the road be sealed, there would be a detrimental effect to the adjoining properties. That's the reason why I raised that issue. It is called up. A risk management component would obviously identify, and if there is an issue, it obviously will impact to the permit if it was granted.
Thank you, Councillor Hardy. I think that was a statement more than a question. Are there any other councillors that wish to or seek clarification? If not, I know that Councillor Hardy had indicated that he had an alternate motion. If we could please hear that, Councillor Hardy.
Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Or if you wish to move that.
Yeah, I move. Yeah. Just before I move it, prior to a planning permit, the responsible authority being the council has the right to ask the minister to call it in. So having that in front, I raise the motion here and I move it. The council writes to the minister for planning requesting the minister to call in and decide the application in accordance with section 97C of the Planning and Environment Act 1987. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Moved by Councillor Hardy. Do I have a seconder for that motion?
Yes, Madam Mayor, I would like to second it.
Councillor Kesich seconded that motion.
Thank you.
Do I have any councillors against the motion?
Madam Mayor, I'd like to ask a question if possible.
Yeah, Councillor Turner.
When was the last time we sent anything to the Minister called in?
I'll just ask Mr. Tory to answer that. Thank you, Mr. Turner.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. To my knowledge, Council has never requested that a matter be called in. We, I think, had something called in reasonably recently in the Melbourne landfill matter, but that's the only one I can recall.
Thank you. Yes, I object. Do you wish me to speak just now?
Councillor Turner, you object to the alternate motion, so yes. Councillors will enter into debate. Councillor Hardy.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. As stated,
If you could just turn on your microphone, please.
Thank you very much. I've got a building voice, building workers' voice. As I said, Madam Mayor, that the Planning Act does allow for the responsible authority, being council, prior to making a decision in respect of the application for a permit, in accordance with Section 61 of the Planning Environment Act 1987, we can ask the Minister to look at this issue in respect that there are geophysic issues which we do not have the knowledge, and there are other issues which only the Minister can look at and make a determination. They're outside the Planning Act, and that's why I'm asking it to be referred on to the Minister. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Hardy. Councillor Turner.
First of all, I'd just like to say I'm very disappointed that we can't make a decision in this chamber. That's what we're elected for. We're elected for 4 years to make the best decisions we can. We won't always be 100% correct, but we have to do the best with the skills we've got. And just it's a bit sad that some councillors, whenever something's they're not happy with it, they do a little bit of scaremongering and scare other councillors about decisions. This land has been notorious for many years. I wouldn't deny that. And there was a report done by Dalhousie, but there's been lots of, even the West Melton, the land there is not the best for building houses on, and many houses have been built and have had trouble. But the bottom line is, these houses are trouble because they weren't engineered properly. They didn't have the proper slabs, and that's why the one in particular had to be completely demolished, but most of them have been repaired. And it's the same with this piece of land. It can be engineered, as we ask holders to check the report, Dalhousie's report, and review it, and give us his opinion. And his opinion was that there was no certainty that the development would increase the severity of the subsidence. It's possible, as they said in the report, to build if it's engineered properly. And okay, it might be expensive to engineer properly, but that's up to the person who has the land that does the building. If they can afford it and they wish to do it, it's not a problem. It's their challenge, not our challenge. It's their piece of land. And if it happens to subside in an area, they may have to engineer it differently. They may have to put big piers down, whatever. I don't know. I'm not an engineer, and neither are you. So I just say, if it's engineered properly, it can be built. And the thing is, we've got a piece of land there that you say is useless. And if it's useless and someone's willing to take that piece of land over and put a facility on that land, whatever the facility is, we shouldn't decide on what type of facility it is. We should decide on whether it's engineering, it's possible, and if it can have a permit for that. What can be built on that land if it's not engineered properly? Nothing. So the only problem you're picking up again is the condition of the ceiling. The road's already sealed up so far, and there's been no problems with that over the years. And I'll just leave it at that. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Does any other councillor wish to speak?
Madam Mayor, can I just ask that the alternative be put?
Thank you. Okay, it was moved by Councillor Hardy, the alternate motion. The Council write to the Minister for Planning requesting the Minister to call in and decide the application in accordance with Section 97C of the Planning and Environment Act 1987. Do I have a seconder? Oh, a seconder, sorry, by Councillor Kesich. My apologies. I'll put it to the vote. All those in favour of Councillor Hardy's alternate? All those against?
Madam Mayor, could I call for a division?
Division has been called by Councillor Maidlick. All those in favour? Councillor Maidlick, Councillor Kesich, Councillor Hardy, Councillor Ramsey, Councillor Mendes, Councillor Carley. All those against? Councillor Sabia and Councillor Turner. I declare the motion carried. The alternate motion carried. Councillors, we'll move along to item 12.13, planning application PA 2019/6555,
use and development of the land for the purpose of a double-storey medical centre with a basement and an associated dispensary, landscaping and car parking, removal and creation of easement at 162 to 166 Coburns Road and 46 Carina Drive, Melton. And we'll be hearing from Mr Baggio.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. This report relates to a planning application for a medical centre, a large medical centre that's proposed on land which is located on the corner of Coburns Road and Carina Drive in Melton. The land comprises four existing lots, with three of those lots containing an existing dwelling, and the other lot containing an existing medical centre with associated car parking. It's noted that back in 2017, the council considered an application for a medical centre on this land. That was a three-level medical centre, and council resolved to refuse the application. And subsequent to that, this application has been lodged for essentially a two-storey building rather than a three-storey building on the land. So the medical centre is proposed to basically, or I should say, the application essentially proposes to demolish the three existing dwellings on the site and replace those dwellings with the proposed medical centre, and it's also proposed to retain the existing medical centre on the site. The medical centre would operate 7 days a week, Monday to Saturday between 7 a.m. and 10 p.m. and 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. on Sunday. The building is, again, is quite contemporary in design and constructed in a variety of building materials, including brick, cladding, and a metal roof. The medical centre would contain a total of 47 car parking spaces, which would be provided in a, I guess it would be like a basement undercroft car parking area. And it's proposed that the medical centre would accommodate a total of 15 health practitioners, and vehicle access to the car park or the site would be via Coburns Road. Advertising of the application generated 8 objections from surrounding residents, and the objections, I guess, could be summarised as concerns about increased traffic congestion and off-street impacts, safety impacts due to the increase in traffic volume, concerns about loss of privacy, the scale and bulk of the development compared to other development in the area. There were concerns about overshadowing and loss of daylight, natural daylight, noise associated with the use. There was an issue raised about the need for another medical centre in this area. Also concerns about that excavation works could cause structural damage to adjoining dwellings and property devaluation concerns. So in terms of the assessment of the planning application, it's noted that the land is in a general residential zone under council's planning scheme. The general residential zone does permit some non-residential type uses, such as medical centres, childcare centres, those sorts of uses that are considered to be generally compatible and needed within a residential area. It's noted that this particular site adjoins a similar size site where council recently approved an application for a quite a large childcare centre on the corner of High Street and Coburn's Road. It's also noted that this particular site is in an area which is fairly, I mean, it's essentially residential, but it also has a mix of other types of uses. As I mentioned before, there's a proposed childcare centre. Opposite the site is the Melton Secondary College, and diagonally opposite the site, if you like, is the Woodgrove Shopping Centre, and then there are other commercial type uses in the general area. From a neighbourhood character perspective, it's acknowledged that it's quite a large development, particularly given that it's proposed to occupy at least three existing residential lots. But the fact that it's a two-storey building is considered that it will essentially respect the general sort of character of the surrounding area. It's noted too that the number of car parking spaces that are being proposed complies with the requirements of the planning scheme, so technically there's no overflow of car parking in the surrounding streets. So on that basis, Madam Mayor, it's recommended that the application be supported and that a notice of decision be issued in accordance with the recommendation. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Badger. Ready, Councillor Ramsey?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I have only two questions that I need addressed. And in the title it said associated dispensary, and I'm pretty sure no one can answer this for me. My main concern is whether a methadone clinic will be operating from this site with a proposed childcare centre, which we've approved, and the secondary college. I've got grave concerns if that be the case, and I don't think we can put in a condition, but I'd like it to be monitored or at least see if we can intercept at any point. And the second question I have is the traffic lights on Coburn and High Street, which has been our horrendous biggest black spot in the whole of the city of Melton. I think Caroline's been coming close, but when are the traffic lights there scheduled? Have we had any feedback from Vic Roads?
Thank you, Mr. Shannon.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I think I can answer that question. We have had discussions over recent months with Transport for Victoria, or formerly Vic Roads, in terms of the design of that intersection. They have prepared what's called a functional layout, which is a high-level design for that intersection, and they have sought funding in the upcoming state budget to undertake those works. There's no guarantee they will be funded. However, they have put in an application, so we're hopeful.
No, that's thank you. Our first step. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Councillor Hardy.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Mayor. All right. There are a couple of things. So if I may make add a preamble and then ask a question, Bob. I'm from the building industry, commercial building industry, and I've seen the actual result of excavations go wrong next door to residential properties. And litigation takes years with a lot, you know, a resident has to foot the bill to go the full extent of the court, and the big boys can wait you out. So I'm very dissatisfied with that, let's say, our position, when we are saying we'll give a permit to excavation without the safety nets being in place for the residents. It's totally inadequate, because we're relying on a building surveyor to make a determination. And they get it wrong as much as we do, because the soil conditions, there's a lot of things that go and need to be done. And the question I asked Bob, is there any way, I've got a couple of notes here, you might help, right? Is there any way we can ask that the local site soil conditions can be reviewed, the depth of the excavation, the soil properties and variations to the soil type, stability, shear strength, cohesion, groundwater, exposure to elements, fractures in rocks, the number of people, local weather, and effects of mobile plant, because there will be. They're digging. And the closer you get to a cut,
the more it puts the sheer load on. And that's why we have a code of practice in WorkSafe. That's why we have many regulatory frameworks inside the building.
Councillor Hardy?
Yes.
Do you have a further question? No, we haven't entered into debate.
The question is, thank you, Madam Mayor, the question is there any way we can put that in as a preamble to the permit?
Mr. Baggio or Mr. Shannon?
Through you, Madam Mayor. In short, no. It's not a planning consideration. Essentially, there's a number of approvals that are required for a development of this type. The first, well, not the first, but a approval, which is the one that we're considering tonight, is essentially the planning approval. And the planning approval looks at issues relating to the appropriateness of the use on the site, whether it's generally in accordance with planning policy. It looks at car parking issues, neighbourhood character issues, the sort of matters that you've mentioned are matters specifically for the building approval.
Thank you, Mr. Badger.
If I have a second, if I may. Thank you, Madam Mayor. Is there anything we can do to add weight to giving a guarantee to the, let's say, the residents on either side of this excavation? Is there anything at all we can add into it, the insurance or framework, to ensure that the residents are not going to be disadvantaged by the excavation? I'm only talking about the excavation, Bob.
Through you, Madam Mayor, basically no. The only sort of conditions that could be imposed by council as part of a planning permit would be around amenity considerations. So, for example, you know, hours of construction work, those sorts of things, but not in terms of the sort of things that you've mentioned around, you know. Insurances and those sorts of things.
Thank you, Mr. Badger. Councillor Hardy. Councillor Turner.
Thank you. Bob, in 2017, there was a previous applicant. Is this the same applicant that wanted three stories and it was rejected then?
I believe so, yes.
So they've adjusted the plans and made it smaller. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Does any other councillor have any other questions or seek clarification? If not, I'll put item 12.13, the recommendation, up. Do I have a mover for the recommendation? Moved by Councillor Ramsey.
Yes, Madam Mayor, I would like to second it. Thank you.
Seconded by Councillor Kesich. All those in favour? All those against? Carried. Councillors, will move along to item 12.14, planning application PA 2019/6666/1, development of the land for a residential aged care facility with associated car parking, business identification signage and landscaping at 12-22 Lexan Close, Melton. And Mr. Badger will be our presenter.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. So this application relates to, sorry, this report relates to a planning application for an aged care facility on a quite a large vacant site of just over 12,000 square metres, which is, I guess, bounded by Station Road to the east, Carter Road to the west, and the Western Freeway to the south. It's a somewhat unusual site in that the land was subdivided back in 1993 and titles were issued, but the internal road to serve the subdivision, which is known as Lexan Close, was never constructed, so hence the land is essentially currently vacant. Apart from part of the land which has been developed for a smaller aged care facility, which is managed by the council. So essentially, it's proposed to develop about 7,000 square metres of that site for a two-storey aged care facility that would comprise 90 residential one-bedroom suites. Essentially, the site would be accessed from Carter Road, which is a local road to the west of the site, and it's proposed by the applicant to construct Lexan Close, which is the internal road which I mentioned before, to provide access to the particular development. The in terms of its proximity to the Western Freeway, the application also includes the requirement for a 2 metre high acoustic fence to mitigate any noise from the freeway. So essentially, council received 32 objections to the application, and those objections were mainly from the people that live in that that residential area to the west of the site, and the grounds of objection were really around the issue of increased traffic along Carter Road and other roads in that area, and the suggestion that access to the site should be instead from Station Road rather than Carter Road. So that was really the basis of the objection. The objections weren't really objecting to the use as such. It was really around the access to the land, which would be essentially from Barry's Road and Carter Road. So in terms of the council's assessment of the application, it was really focused on that access issue, if you like, which was the basis of the objections to the application. It was noted, I guess, by officers in terms of assessing the application that an aged care facility, while it will generate some traffic, it's not a huge generator of traffic compared to a lot of other uses. The application was also accompanied by a traffic impact assessment report, which indicated that the additional traffic likely to be generated by the use was acceptable and capable of being accommodated within the existing road network, and that was also assessed by the council's traffic engineers, who essentially concurred with the traffic impact report that was prepared. It's noted that, as I mentioned before, Lexan Close is proposed to be constructed to provide access to the site, and that would also have the effect of providing access to the existing council facility that I mentioned before, which at the moment is getting access directly from Station Road. So on that basis, Madam Mayor, it's recommended that the application be supported and that a notice of decision be issued in accordance with the recommendation and the report. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Baggio. Councillor Ramsey.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Thank you, Bob, because this is probably the worst battle axe planning application I've seen in a long time, and knowing that the current facility goes off just after the overpass on Station Road, I don't mean to offend any members of my community ever, but this is an aged care facility, and if we go down and they're expected to get out on Barry's Road, you said there's a traffic report that said it's going to be marginal. We're dealing with people that still want their freedom to be able to drive. Barry's Road is a fairly busy road. Turning left, I haven't got an issue with, but turning right, I can see nightmares galore. Have we got any plans to upgrade that intersection? I know that there's only a huge roundabout only within about 50 metres from it, or 100 metres from it, and that's probably our second most dangerous roundabout.
Mr. Benji.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. My understanding is there's no plans to upgrade any intersection at this stage.
So when traffic reports are actually given on a planning proposal, do they look at just main roads, like an office, if they're sitting in an office in Spring Street somewhere and say, oh, yeah, we're going to add another 20 cars on Barry's Road, Barry's Road can take it, everything's fine, or do they look at the fact that this is an aged care facility and the people that are there are usually probably my age and a little bit older,
yeah,
going up to centenary age?
They essentially look at all those factors. They look at the existing road network in terms of the traffic that's generated on Barry's Road and Carter's Road and Station Road, and also look at the from previous examples of these sorts of uses, the likely traffic that's going to be generated by this type of use. As you mentioned before, it's an aged care facility, so I wouldn't expect that many of the people who live there will be driving. Essentially, it'll be the staff that look after the people that will drive.
The only other question, and I know I've got my answer to Councillor Madeley, but if you bear with me for a second, Madam Mayor, the goat track that's been carved into from Station Road for years and years and years, what are we going to do to block that off for future exit and entry points?
Yeah. So the intention is that when Lexington Close is fully constructed to the point where it can provide access to the existing aged care centre, then that would be provided by council, and council would make a decision at that time as to how to stop people from accessing the site from Station Road. It might be bollards or something like that.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsay. Councillor Turner.
Bob, this go track onto Station Road, will that be built over? It's hard to see on here, this. Will it be built over? Will the property actually go over the crossover?
No. So,
Lexington
Close, which I mentioned before, essentially terminates, if you like, as a sort of a court head, if you like, before it intersects with Station Road.
Is there any way we can put a condition on asking it to have access on the Station Road? Because there's access right across the road, they have access onto Station Road, so I can't see.
Yeah.
This road's been used for many years,
yeah,
so you would think it would be a right of access now, after all these years.
So,
for
there is no road reserve between Station Road and the end of Lexington Close. What you've got is a piece of land which is a council reserve. Which
yeah, I understand.
Now, I'm assuming it was provided as part of the open space contribution at the time that the land was...
Which they've been driving over for many years.
Exactly.
And there's no guarantees of a stop from, so why should we stop
them
now?
So it's not a road reserve as such. So to get access across that land, the council would need to essentially create a road reserve over the land. That's the first issue. The other issue is that part of the road adjoins part of a road zone, so technically the application would have needed to have been referred to Vic Roads for its comments. And also, in addition to that, the council engineers haven't assessed the access issue from Station Road because it hasn't been part of the application. So if the council wanted to pursue that particular issue, then my advice would be that the council would have to defer consideration of the application to enable access issues, the potential for access to Station Road to be further investigated.
I can't understand why we've not done that already. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Turner.
Madam Mayor, can I ask a question, please?
Councillor Mendes.
Mr. Baggio, I'm just wondering, is the current facilities that's there now, would they still be able to continue to use Station Road if we approved this application, which, and I told them they couldn't use Station Road? Could that still occur?
Essentially, it's if the application is approved, then access to Station Road would still be possible until Lexan Close was constructed, because there is no other access to that particular site.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Mendes. There's no other question, Madam Mayor. Councillor
Madley? Madam Mayor, in regards to residential aged care facilities, are we in short demand in regards to these facilities in our community?
Probably Mr. Heaney? Yes.
Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Madelick. There's no further clarification, councillors. We have a motion before us. Do I have a mover for the motion, the recommendation? Moved by Councillor Ramsey. Do I have a seconder?
I'd like to second that, Madam Mayor.
Seconded by Councillor Sabir. Does anyone oppose the motion? If no one opposes the motion, I'll put it to the vote. All those in favour? Against? Carried unanimously.
Madam Mayor, can I call a division, please?
Councillor Ramsey has called for a division. All those in favour? Councillor Madelick, Councillor Kesich, Councillor Hardy, Councillor Ramsey, Councillor Mendes, Councillor Turner, Councillor Sabir, Councillor Carley. Item 12.15, contract number 19/042, Stampain Reserve Upgrade. And the presenter will be Mrs. Mellon.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. The purpose of this report is to seek Council's approval to award contract 19042 for the Stampain Reserve Upgrade. In 2013, Melton City Council undertook a review of parks and reserves, auditing existing reserves across the municipality to identify sites requiring rejuvenation and improvements. In adopting this review, Council recognised the need to introduce a programme of improvements to ensure that all our residents have equitable access to a range of safe and usable public spaces. Stampain Reserve in Diggers Rest was identified as a priority park for improvement, and its upgrade would enable Melton City Council to continue to meet the needs of the growing community in Diggers Rest while delivering on the committed passive reserve development programme. To meet the needs of the community to deliver and to deliver on the objectives of creating a strong gateway into Diggers Rest Township, Melton City Council made an application in July 2018 to the Victorian State Government's Growing Suburb Fund for financial assistance. Council was advised in October 2018 that it was successful in obtaining $400,000 in funding, and subsequently an agreement for the funding was signed, which Council matched fund, creating a budget of $800,000. Council has agreed under the Grown Suburbs Fund that the project will be delivered in time, will be delivered by July 2020. A request for tender was put out on Tuesday the 17th of September, and the tenders closed on the 10th of October 2019. And the expected practical completion date for the park at this stage is April in 2020. The total budget allocated to deliver the project, as mentioned, is $800,000, which includes the contribution from state government. And in developing the tender documentation, money was expended on the consultancy fees in accordance with the project scope, and a breakdown of the overall budget is contained on page 735 of this report. Following the advertisement of the tenders, Stampain Reserve Project, we received three submissions. Citywide Service Solutions scored the highest in the tender evaluation, which is outlined in the confidential appendix to this report, and it's therefore recommended that we award them the tender for the construction of the park for the lump sum of $601,081.26, excluding GST. And at number two, we delegate to the Chief Executive Officer the execution of all contract documents. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Laura Jo. Laura Jo, I just have a few questions in regards to the landscape plan, yep, which is Appendix 2, page 740. In regards to the toilet block structure, how it was going to be or being redeveloped, can you just explain why it's gone from three rooms to now two rooms in the new plan?
Yep. So my understanding is that the third room was actually a service area. So there was two toilets and one service area.
Okay.
So we've replaced like for like, and the two toilets that are provided are adequate to meet the size of the park that they're located within.
And just in regards to the redeveloped toilets that are going to be there, is it the same distance to the barbecue shelter like what it is at the moment? Will the toilet smell have an impact on people that are sitting there having a barbecue?
Through you, Madam Mayor, the toilets are closer than they were before, and that's largely due to the feedback that we got through the consultation process. The actual doors to the toilet face away from the barbecue area, so they're kind of back-to-back to the shelter, so there shouldn't be any issues with any smells that come from the toilet. Okay. They're designed in accordance with the required standards.
Okay. And just one more question, Laura Jo. The bowling club car park, what material will be used for the car park?
Through you, Madam Mayor. It's a gravel car park. What's specified is basalt or similar, so the contractor can put something else forward to the engineers, and they would approve that. So it's consistent with the gravel car parks that we would see across the municipality. And then to rationalise it and improve the amount of parking that you can get at the moment, there will be, if you've ever seen the kind of yellow discs that you see in gravel car parks to actually delineate the car parking areas, they'll be included within it as well.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Councillor Ramsey?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Ms Mellon, can you tell me through the Mayor what was wrong with Carolyn Chisholm Centre, the way it was, or the rotunda, what? And the original toilet blocks.
Through you, Madam Mayor. So when we undertook an audit of the site, the two existing facilities, so the shelter and the toilet block, were actually reaching the end of their life, so they were no longer fit for purpose. But the shelter in particular was important to the local community. So the combined facilities and location of the existing shelter and the design has actually been taken on to reflect the Caroline Chisholm shelter that's already there.
Thank you. I think the Mayor asked this question, but they weren't joined previously, were they?
No, they were two separate.
And now they're joined?
Yeah, they are.
That leads me on to my second question. Why would you not have the toilets facing the barbecue area or facing a car park? Stranger danger has always concerned me, and I'd like to think that if I was recreating in that area, having a barbie, that and I sent my kids to the toilet, I could actually see them from where I was cooking or going, you know, with them. Why are the toilets facing the car park and not facing the rotunda the way they were previously?
Yep, through you, Madam Mayor. So part of that is to address all the design requirements we have for the site, including, I suppose, the health and safety issues associated with the toilets have been directly on to the barbecues. The barbecues themselves, in terms of where they're placed, you can actually see up the footpaths to where the toilets are. And in terms of the interface with the car park, there's actually a fence between, if you're talking about the car park at the train station, there is a fence between that car park and the actual reserve itself.
Madam Mayor, if I could have just one follow-up.
Councillor Ramsey.
If you're driving along the road, can you see the toilet doors from the road like you can today?
From the car park?
Untoward, if you're travelling on the main road there.
On Calder Highway.
And you go past the toilets, can you see the entrance to the toilet?
You cannot see the doors from the Calder Highway. No.
Are there any other councillors that have any other questions? If not, I'll put the motion. Do I have a mover for the recommendation? Moved by Councillor Mendes. Do I have a seconder? Do I have a seconder for the...
Madam Mayor, I'll second.
Seconded by Councillor Hardy. Does anyone oppose the motion? If no one opposes the motion, I'll put it to the vote. All those in favour?
All those against? Carried. Mm-hmm. 12.16, sale of land, Abbey Road, Cobblebank, and presenting will be Mr. Bean.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. A report was presented to the Council at the ordinary meeting held on 14th of October, which outlined a request from Cedar Coaches to acquire land in the Cobblebank area for the purposes of establishing a bus depot to service the current and expanding public transport Victoria bus routes and the broader Western Suburbs catchment, which obviously Melton is included in that catchment. The company is currently located in West Footscray and is intending to locate its operations in the sort of Melton-Wyndham belt of the Melton-Wyndham area. Its preliminary discussions with local real estate agents and other providers did not sort of facilitate any ideal success for them in the criteria they were looking for. However, council staff were able to sort of make a quick assessment and understanding what their needs were, and were able to put forward a parcel of land that council in fact owns in Abbey Road that could sort of provide both the current and future needs of the company as they sort of expand their bus services as they continue to meet the growing transport requirement of the western suburbs. In order to facilitate any proposed sale, there is a statutory requirement that the council must comply with, which is set out in section 189 of the Local Government Act in relation to publicly advertising in a locally circulating newspaper, seeking any submissions and calling a public meeting if required to hear those submissions, seeking a valuation from a commercial or recognised valuer, and those criteria have been met. One of the exciting things, I guess, in trying to establish the coaches to come here is largely an effect of the blue-collar roles and certainly some white-collar roles, but the blue-collar roles that they will be able to provide our residents and a raft of different opportunities in establishing their operations here. And the second element is in regard to, I guess, recognising some of Council's challenges around providing integrated, connected public transport needs within our growing municipality. They've currently been having significant discussions with Public Transport Victoria about trying to provide more of an on-demand alternate public transport bus services, and part of them looking to establish in Melton would be that they would put forward our municipality as a trial period or a trial test case to council in Victoria to run this kind of a concept should Public Transport Victoria pick up that opportunity. But their discussions with them have been extremely fruitful to date. On the basis of those things, Madam Mayor, there were not considered to be any risks. We could not establish any easy options as far as anything other than this site. And with that in mind, I would put forward to Council the recommendations set out on page 741. The Council sell the land at Lot 1, which is part of Plan of Subdivision 611-313W, located 83 to 105 Abbey Road, Cobblebank, to Cedar Coaches Proprietary Limited for an amount of $1.1 million. But that does have a condition precedent that they must obtain a planning permit for the purposes of a bus depot for that site within 12 months of Council adopting this motion. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Bean. Does any councillor seek any clarification?
Yes, ma'am.
Councillor Hardy.
Thank you very much, Madam Mayor. It's probably preemptive. I don't see anything from the EPA, any requirements. Is this, you know, at a later date, or should there be an EPA? Normally in bus depots there is a requirement that they do maintenance in particular areas, triple interceptors for oils, greases and captive of all those areas that can escape into groundwater. So is that preemptive, or is that coming at a later date when it comes before us again?
Yep, through you, Madam Mayor, Councillor Hardy. The report here is for the purposes of Council considering selling the site to them.
Yep.
The conditional precedent about them obtaining a planning permit, the requirements that you talked about there as far as the EPA elements would be certainly picked up and contained within any planning permit for that site.
Thank you, Peter. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Hardy. Is there any other councillor who seeks clarification? If not, do I have a mover for the recommendation?
Yes, Madam Mayor. I'd like to move for the recommendation.
It was moved by Councillor Ramsay.
Oh, sorry.
First. That's all right. That's okay. Moved by Councillor Ramsay. Do I have a seconder?
Yes, Madam Mayor.
Councillor Hardy seconds the motion. Does anyone oppose the motion? If no one opposes the motion, I'll put it to the vote. All those in favour? All those against?
Madam Mayor, could I ask for a division, but could I speak to it for about 30 seconds after the division? Or do you want me to speak to it first?
I'd rather you speak first, Councillor.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I just want to commend our GM for Corporate Services, Mr Peter Bean. Not only are we looking at getting jobs in the area, we're looking at a diversity of services, and this ticks all the boxes. It heartens me to think that we're actually selling our land for what it's worth, and $1.1 million is it's a good indicator of what the sales of land in Melton are going for with the growth and everything else, so rather than giving it away for a dollar, which happened decades ago. So I commend Peter Bean and his team on a great outcome.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsay. I will say, before Councillor Ramsay said a few words, I was just about to say that the motion, the recommendation was carried, and I believe Councillor Ramsay asked for a division.
Yes, please.
So, Councillors, all those in favour? Councillor Madelick, Councillor Kesich, Councillor Hardy, Councillor Ramsay, Councillor Mendes, Councillor Turner, Councillor Sabir and Councillor Carley. I declare the motion carried. Item 12.17, International Women's Day 2020, and the presenter is Christine Denyer.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. The purpose of this report is to advise Council on a proposal for the International Women's Day 2020 mayoral event, and specifically in relation to the speaker's fee. International Women's Day is a global day celebrating the social, economic, cultural and political achievements of women. Started by the suffragettes in the early 1900s, the first International Women's Day was celebrated in 1911. The International Women's Day 2020 campaign theme is Each for Equal, or hashtag Each for Equal. If each of us strive for a more equal world on a daily basis, real change can be achieved. To mark International Women's Day, Council usually holds a community event, a staff event and a mayoral event. And to that end, on the 3rd of April 2017, at its ordinary Council meeting, Council resolved, amongst other things, to add the annual event to its calendar to mark International Women's Day, with an allocation for a guest speaker. And at the ordinary meeting on the 5th of February 2018, Council resolved to approve an allowance of up to $5,000 for the guest speaker for International Women's Day, or IWD as it's also known. The proposal put forward to officers by the Mayor for the 2020 mayoral event was that the speaker's allowance be donated, and donated to Macaulay Community Services for Women. With that in mind, officers propose that the Mayor gives the keynote address. The Mayor is an experienced councillor who has held the role of Mayor at this and previously another council, and it is proposed there would also be a short address given by someone from Macaulay Community Services as to what the $5,000 would go towards, and perhaps also a short case study. Both the amount of the allowance and the programming costs are in Council's budget already, and so the recommendation is as set out on page 744. Otherwise, Council could resolve not to donate the speaker's fee, that is. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Christine. I'm just going to rise from the chair and I'll ask if Councillor Turner could please continue on with the, or chair the meeting.
Okay. Does any councillor require any further clarification? Councillor Medlick.
Mr. Temporary Chair. I've got a question in regards to the Macaulay Community Service. By the way, I think it's a fantastic idea that we're donating this amount
instead of to just one speaker, to community service for women. Could we just find out a little bit more about the Macaulay community services for women and whether they actually help directly the Melton Council area?
Through you, Mr. Chair, thank you for the question. Now, my knowledge of Macaulay Community Services for Women is somewhat limited, but I'll answer as best I can. That name was put forward to me after some advice from Mr. Heaney's team, and I did some research on them myself. They, in fact, service the Western region, so the entire region, including Melton, of course. I spoke to someone from there and she did say that the majority of the people that come to them are from the Melton region, although she didn't put a number on that. So they offer services to women who are experiencing domestic violence in an immediate sense in terms of housing, right through to helping women who are, I guess, escaping domestic violence in terms of employment. So it's a sort of end-to-end service in terms of supporting women and their children who are escaping and dealing with domestic violence.
Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Does any other councillor require further clarification? Councillor Ramsey.
Thank you, Chair. What we have, Macaulay Community Services, now I may need to refer to Mr. Heaney for this. They're not based in Melton, but they service the Western region and therefore help the women of Melton. Do they actually have like a flying squad that come into Melton and operate maybe one or two days, or do our women have to go to where they're situated?
Through you, Mr. Chair, again, my knowledge is somewhat limited, but from my conversation with the person at Macaulay, they operate out of Fitzroy, I think it is.
Footscray.
Sorry, Footscray. Beg your pardon, Footscray. But they are will be setting up some sort of centre in Melton in the near future. She couldn't give me any more details than that, but they are planning.
But at the moment, we have to go into Footscray.
I didn't ask that question, so I wouldn't pretend to know the answer. I'd have to take that question on notice.
Thank you.
Does any other council require any clarification? Do I have a mover for the motion?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to move that council donate the $5,000 allowance for a guest speaker for International Women's Day for the 2020 year to the Macaulay Community Services for Women, reverting back to the allowance being paid to a speaker in 2021 and beyond. And, Mr. Chair, if the recommendation is seconded, if I could please say a few words.
No problem. Do I have a seconder for the motion?
I'm happy to second that, Mr. Mayor.
Moved by Councillor Carley, seconded by Councillor Medlick. Does any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour of the motion? I declare the motion carried. Councillor Carley.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Could I firstly say thank you to my fellow councillors for supporting this recommendation. I think that we need to remember that International Women's Day is an important day, and I think that we are there to celebrate and thank the women in our community, but I think it's really important that we don't forget those who are less fortunate and also need support. I know that Macaulay Community Services does work with women who have experienced family violence, and it helps them get back on their feet, seek employment, and just help and support them. And I think it's great to, I think that they would appreciate definitely a $5,000 check to help those women. So thank you, councillors, for I guess accepting this recommendation. Thank you. Okay. councillors, we'll move to item 12.19.
Madam Mayor,
I know that
I would like to remove myself from chamber, as I have mentioned before, that I have an indirect interest because of conflicting duties under section 78B of the Local Government Act 1989, and I have notified the CEO accordingly.
And I'd like to just duplicate what Councillor Maidlick has said, because I need to keep the company outside.
Thank you, Councillor Maidlick and Councillor Ramsey. We'll just wait, councillors, for them to exit the chamber. Councillors, item 12.19, proposed lease to Western Base, 222 Ferris Road, Cobblebank, and the presenter will be Christine Denier.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. The purpose of this report is to present to Council a request from Western Base Limited to enter into a new lease for the premises known as the Western Business Accelerator and Centre for Excellence at 222 Ferris Road, Cobblebank. By way of background, in 2012, Council was successful in obtaining funding from the Commonwealth of Australia to establish a business accelerator or a business incubator at the premises which I've just described as part of the Australian Government Suburban Jobs Program. And Council subsequently established a company known as Western Base Limited with the approval of the Minister. And that company continues today to operate the premises, initially on behalf of Council in carrying out the funding application and beyond. And so Council granted an initial lease to the Western Base, which is coming to an end on the 30th of June, and that was a five-year lease for a peppercorn. So Western Base Limited aims to support a diverse range of local employment and business development opportunities through provision of employment infrastructure and targeted training and workshops for local businesses. It also provides short and long-term office space for anchor tenants, registered training providers and not-for-profit organisations. So Western Base Limited have requested a new lease, a further lease, for an initial term of 5 years, with one further term of 5 years, again for the peppercorn rent. If Council is minded to consider granting the lease to Western Base for the terms I've just outlined, Council is required to place a public notice in a local newspaper circulating in the area, with the details of the lease, calling for any submissions and stating that any submitters that wish to be heard can be heard. If Council does not wish to enter into a new lease, as I said, this lease will come to an end on the 30th of June, and we would therefore give the tenant notice that the lease is coming to an end. So Council has the option to adopt the recommendation as set out on page 749, which is to advertise its intention, essentially, to enter into a new lease, or it can decide not to, and as I say, the existing lease will come to an end. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Denier. Does any Council seek clarification? If not, do I have a mover for the recommendation?
Happy to move that, Madam Mayor.
Moved by Councillor Turner. Do I have a seconder?
Madam Mayor, I'll second that.
Seconded by Councillor Hardy. Does anyone oppose the motion? If not, I'll put the motion to vote. All those in favour? Against? Carried.
And I suppose we can have CPI answers.
We'll just wait for Councillor Maidlick and Councillor Ramsey to return into the chamber. Councillors, we'll move along to items 13 and 14, which will be both together, and we'll start with Councillor Mendes.
Okay, it's been a pretty busy month over the last month. I think we've all had different events, many clashing at the same time, so we've all had to share our roles. On the 12th of November, I had the Community Achievement Awards, and it was fantastic to see many of our community receive awards for various things that they've done throughout the last 12 months. And I think the next day was a fantastic day. It was Toolmobile's 150th birthday, and I thought the unveiling of the artist piece at the end was a true representation of Toolmobile over the years. And I believe the children are putting their handprints around the outside, so I look forward to seeing that finished project. Jigarest Lions Club invited myself and Councillor Lara Carley to a meeting with them, and it was a fantastic night, and so many raffle prizes and more raffle prizes, and there were people present, so we sort of walked away with a couple of things that we weren't really keen on taking, but chocolates were quite well enjoyed. And then the Women Make It Happen. Well, poor Deb and myself and Dot, I think we made up a fairly good team. There weren't very many of this present this year, but it was really good to see people out there representing women fighting against violence. It was a great sunny day, and we enjoyed ourselves immensely. The women in sports, well, I was really impressed to see that the youngest member of our women in sports was a young girl named Ruby Gordon, and she represented four hockey sports people from Melton and the Caroline Springs hockey team that represented women in sport, and I think that was fantastic to see a sport like that finally get some recognition in the city of Melton. And I thought it was great that hopefully that we can continue that on to see sportswomen and maybe other artists or things, people like that, be recognised in the city of Melton. And then the Jerriwarra Education Service 30th birthday celebrations, it was immensely satisfying to see people that have been in this country for about 8 months be able to get up and speak and do a speech in English. It blew me away, and I was really taken back that night that last speaker had such courage and confidence about himself, and to be able to come from probably such a war-torn area to the city of Melton and be able to achieve that in 8 months makes it possible for us all to achieve. On the 1st of December, we had the Rail Projects Victoria opening of Cobblebanks Victoria train station. I think it's great to see Atherston finally getting something from and opening up that community further, and we'll get further infrastructure as a result of that. And the Carols by Candlelight, well, it was a bit cold, Mr. Bean. He didn't turn on the weather for us this year. Yeah, we certainly froze. I think that many people had about 4 or 5 blankets on them in the end. But I stayed to as far as I could possibly manage it, and sorry I had to leave early because it had gotten too cold. So it was great also to see Santa, but I think it was great to have an addition of Mrs. Claus this year. I think that just added to the stage presence. And I'd like to congratulate not just the councillors here, but the people of the City of Melton and the people that started the petitions and that for the City of Melton Hospital, and the Andrews government for finally delivering on something that we've been advocating for. And I'd like the CEO to pass on my congratulations to the advocacy team for the hard work and the dedication that they've shown over the last 12 months to achieve that piece of work. I think it's something that we all need, and I don't think anyone here in this room would disagree, and we might actually start to make some differences on emergency services way out processes in the City of Melton, because I certainly don't think I'd like to continue waiting 8 hours for service, and I really appreciate what the Andrews government have given to the City of Melton.
Thank you, Councillor Mendes. Councillor Turner.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I had a bit of a abbreviated month. I've been overseas on some family business for a few weeks. 24th of November, went to St. Michael's Ethiopian Orthodox Festival along with yourself. Councillor Midley, were you there? I can't remember. There's somebody else there.
Maybe Councillor Bishi.
I knew my wife was there. Never mentioned her, I get into trouble. The 27th at the Policy Review Panel, on the 29th, we had a visit here from the kids from Al Iman College in South Melton, and they come to tell us how good the future of Melton was with other ideas, and it was really good to see them coming and taking part. On the 30th, along with other councillors, attended the Mace Festival of Lights, which was a dinner dance for Beyond Blue, and it was a really good night. On the 1st of December, along with all the other councillors and yourself, Madam Mayor, attended Cobblebank station opening along with our local member Steve McGee. It was a really good day. There were lots and lots of people there, and it was a great launch for the station. For the citizenship ceremony on the 3rd, I know that's only one, and you've attended many this month, but it's good to see, was it a backlog of 1,000, isn't there? Something like that. So they're working it down gradually. But now it's always good to see them coming through. Cut it short. On Saturday the 7th, I attended the Melbourne Chinese Cultural School, along with yourself and Councillor Ramsey. Can't remember Councillor Mealy, but she's at everything, but I can't remember she was at that one. That was good. We always go to see them every year. We get an invite, and it's good to see the kids getting up there and practicing their Chinese. It's good to see them keeping their culture going. On the 7th, we also attended the Pistol Club for their yearly breakup, and not to mention, of course, the Carls by Candlelight was a great success. I think it must be the biggest number we've ever had. It did get a bit cool later on, but it was more in fault because I was only wearing a shirt. On the 8th, attended the RSL breakup, just because we had to go elsewhere. And this morning, we had a fantastic morning, and a big thanks to the team for our advocacy priorities lunch this morning at George's of Vista. It was fantastic to see what they've produced, our new advocacy for our council moving forward for the next couple of years. Thank you. That's enough, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Councillor Sevilla.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I attended the National Growth Areas Alliance Congress citizenship ceremonies, because we've got plenty of those going on. Intercultural Advisory Committee, Melton City Council Reconciliation Committee, Cobblebank Station Opening, HRV Tabcorp Park Grants Assessment Panel, and the Vietnam Veterans Annual Christmas Dinner.
Thank you, Councillor Sevilla. Councillor Maidlick.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I will just skim over my committees and events as well, because I've got quite a few here. I attended the Council Representative Advisory Committee, which we dealt with today in today's ordinary meeting, the Policy Review Panel, my final Western Melbourne Tourism Board AGM and stakeholder briefing. I also attended the Disability Advisory Committee, the Club Grants Committee, and donated, I think it was about $50,000 to worthwhile community groups, and there was, I think, $86,000 worth, but we could only give them $50,000. So a few missed out, but that will be down the track where we'll present, where all the councillors will be invited. The CEO review panel, can I just... I like to always mention, when we do the CEO review panel, commend our CEO on the job that he does. He's got a lot of burden on his shoulders, and he does a commendable job leading the executive, as well as giving us advice without fear and favour, as well as all the staff. So a job well done to the CEO. I also attended the MAV State Conference, an annual event, and our former mayor, Councillor Bob Turner, he won't say it, but he received an award for being three-time mayor at the MAV state annual event. So congratulations to him. Thank you. I attended the ALGA conference and the NGAA conference with Councillor Sabia, and it was fantastic. We had great guest speakers focusing on the issues of our growth and fast-growing communities. And can I also say that we won high commendations for the City Vista Pavilion, as well as one of our staff members received the highly commended award to Sean McManus. So, Pete, I think that's in your area. Can you please pass on the congratulations to Sean? I was supposed to bring the City Vista one, but I'll do it in February. But congratulations to him and for his hard work, for him and his team that he does in the advocacy space. Numerous citizenship ceremonies. women in sports, breakfast, statutory meeting. Oh, because I was not here last time, may I congratulate our newly elected mayor and our deputy mayor. I didn't get a chance to congratulate you in the last meeting, so congratulations on that appointment.
Thank you.
Melton Carols by Candlelight was a wonderful event, such a great turnout. And today we had a fantastic advocacy priorities launch at the City Vista Pavilion, and it was a great turnout to see a lot of the state MPs there. And Madam Mayor, you delivered a fantastic speech into sort of saying to them what our needs are for our community. And can I just thank Councillor Turner for it was his initiative a while back where we decided to actually put that booklet together, so there's more of a focused effort in delivering our advocacy issues. And since then I've noticed a great amount of projects that have been delivered, so thank you to both of you. And finally, Madam Mayor, I'd like to wish everyone, yourself, the executive, councillors and all our members of the community a very Merry Christmas and a safe and Happy New Year, and we'll see you back here in February 2020.
Thank you, Councillor Maidlick.
Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Councillor Kesich.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. On the 12th of November, I attended the Community Achievement Award presentation night. Pardon me. At TabCorp, 21st of November, CEO Review Panel Committee meeting at Melton. The 1st of December, Rail Project Victoria, Cobble Bank Station opening, Ferris Road, Cobble Bank. On the 4th of December, I attended a meeting with a group of citizens on the state of cleanliness of parks and waterways within the Parkside Village and the Bridges Estate at Caroline Springs. On the 5th of December, I attended the club, Caroline Springs Grants Assessment Panel meeting at the club. And also, that's all about this one, but Madam Mayor, if you allow me, it comes to a time in a year when we all turn towards the family, when we all gather for the Christmas and New Year. I would like to use this moment also to move the notice of motion about our armed forces, and I would like that the council write a letter to the Ministry of Defence wishing them and our service men and women posted overseas very Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. I would like to use a moment also to wish Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to all of you here. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Kesich. So you've moved Madam that Mayor, motion, Councillor Kesich.
Madam Mayor, it would be my pleasure to second that motion.
Okay, so moved by Councillor Kesich, seconded by Councillor Hardy. Does anyone oppose the motion? If not, I'll put it to the vote. All those in favour? Against? Carried. Thank you, Councillor Kesich. Councillor Hardy.
Yes, thank you, Madam Mayor. On the Tuesday, the 12th of November, was the Community Achievement Presentation Night. The 13th of November, Citizenship Ceremony. The 14th was the Citizenship Ceremony. The 16th of November was the Relay for Life dance at West Waters. It's, Queen was exceptional as a band. Tuesday the 19th of November, Citizenship. 19th also was a CEO review panel. The 20th was Wellmeda. It's a strategy launched by Lead West about the future of planning and particularly education facilities within the West. The Dirawarra and Education the Services, the 30th birthday Melton, the 27th policy review. 28th was the Sikh Multicultural event in Melton. December the 2nd was the Sikh temple celebration here, the 550th anniversary of Guru Nanak Dev in Melton. Tuesday, the 3rd of December, citizenship. The 4th was the TabCorp grant assessment. The 7th was the Pistol Club Melton, the Christmas dinner. The 7th was the Vietnam veterans in Melton. They're also Christmas dinner. And what a wonderful night. They do an exceptional job. The 8th was the RSL dinner, and of course, to cap it off, was the advocacy today, the launch, the priorities for Melton of the future. They do
They do meld into what we've already stated over many nights. But there is, right, some standout issues. The hospital, the future of education in a development of a university, and a TAFE, and educational programs which very much like CETA and other employment initiatives that are going to be enhancing the growth, the employment, and also the livability of Melton. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Hardy. Councillor Ramsay.
We've put the stopwatch away, haven't we, Peter?
No.
Because I think most I've been following and most everybody's got over.
Has been a busy month, Councillor Ramsay.
Yeah, I know.
No one's gone over yet, Councillor Ramsay. I would let you know.
Okay.
But you have used up nearly a minute.
No, I'm starting now. At the beginning of the month, I visited the PAG group for Mambrin. So you've got a hard act to follow, Madam Mayor. The Community Achievement Awards, Zonta's 100th birthday. Congratulations to everybody involved. I attended 5 out of the 6 citizenship ceremonies, and can I thank the governance team on what they do in delivering that. I mean, it gets bigger and better every year, and to get the backstop or get the build-up of our waiting list down is an absolute achievement. Chulam Vale Primary School's 150th birthday was great. The Melton Relay for Life fundraiser was exceptional. Women Making It Happen, there was a meeting, and I was unwell to go to the walk, so I apologise. Roads to Zero continues to battle the ever-increasing road toll. Melton Macedonian Seniors Group had a luncheon. It was great. The CEO review panel, what can I say? I think we've got the best CEO in Melbourne, Victoria, Australia and the world, but it's a hidden secret. Women in Sport Breakfast, the Early Years Partnership, the 550th anniversary for the Sikh Temple Multicultural Event, the Almaan College students' presentation, and the kids were absolutely delightful. The Mace Festival of Lights, the opening of Cobblebank Rail train station, and again, Mr Andrews is going to be my pin-up boy. Thank you very much. The Busy Feet Christmas concert, the Community Care Volunteers Luncheon, HRV Chapcourt Park Assessment Panel, Prostate Cancer and the Cancer Group Luncheons, the Melton Chinese Cultural Association, the Melton Pistol Club Lunch, the Vietnam Veterans I called in, and also the RSL, the 2019 Carols by Candlelight, best yet, Mr Bean, absolutely brilliant. You and your team rock. And the advisory priorities launched today. There were so many politicians in the room, I didn't know if there was anybody left. Again, I want to thank Daniel Andrews and the State Labor Government for the hospital announcement. And if I don't see everybody on the 16th next month for our very short meeting, I hope you have a wonderful Christmas. Stay safe on our roads, and I look forward to a wonderful new year for 2020. God bless each and every one of you. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsay. Now, just bear with me, Councillors, because I have quite a few, and I know you've touched on some, so I'll quickly go through them as quick as I can. I attended the Chrysler Priest Inaugural Community Sports Engagement Expo. This was a great initiative from a primary school. They want to see more kids get off the PS4s and their phones and get active in sport, and they had a lot of our sporting clubs around in their hall, encouraging kids and their parents to sign up, and they opened that up to all the schools across the municipality, all the primary schools. So well done to Christ the Priest. Our Community Achievement Awards presentation, Citizen of the Year, Jared Hines. I need to mention all these marvellous winners. Young Citizen of the Year, Chloe Wright. Access and Inclusion Leader of the Year, Emily Attard. Gender Equity Leader of the Year, Kelly Busuttil. Intercultural Engagement Leader of the Year, Yvette Elaine. Zonta Club of Melton's 100th birthday. That was a lovely evening. Chulam Vale Primary School 150th birthday celebration. I know both Councillor Ramsay and Councillor Mendes touched on that. Westwood Fate a visit from a Japanese delegation that we had here in the chamber, and I know that Councillor Ramsey and Councillor Turner were present for that. Diggers Arrest Lions Club dinner, Councillor Mendes and I attended. Venture Melton Business Network event and signing of the Small Business Friendly Council Charter. This was a really important night, and well done to you, Mr. Bean, and your team for organising that. Roads to Zero Steering Committee, please be safe on our roads, especially as we're approaching the holiday season. Melton Macedonian Seniors Group, their official opening, so welcome to the Macedonian Seniors Group of Melton. CEO Review Panel, the St. Michael Ethiopian Orthodox Festival. I also met with four workplace participants for Accessibility Week. It was great to have a sit down and a chat and a little bit of a morning tea with them, and those four participants were then partnered with three of council's supervisors and had a day of work, and I have heard that it went great and they absolutely enjoyed it, and I look forward to hearing, we're going to have a bit of a get together, and I look forward to hearing more about their experience working here. Women in Sport, Melton Breakfast, another wonderful very early morning. 16 days of activism event with Jess Hill, who is the Walkley award-winning journalist and author. And can I just say well done to Mr. Tory and the executives and the council staff for having a 16 days of activism event here at council for your staff. It was very well attended. The guest speaker was excellent, so well done. Jerrawarra and Education Services 30th birthday and AGM held at the library. Policy review panel meeting, early use partnership committee meeting, Melton Reconciliation Advisory Committee. It was great to also have a local Indigenous artist called Bushka, who Councillor Sabir will agree with me, his work is magnificent, and I look forward, I know that he'll be displaying his artwork at the Caroline Springs Library in the new year, and I really look forward to going out and seeing that. Al Iman College, who presented to Council on how we can make Melton a better place to live in. I think there was probably about 15 kids, for they say, and they were absolutely gorgeous. And I believe it's still out in the foyer. As you're leaving, please have a look to your left before you exit. Their posters are up there on display, and it's just a great read, and they presented beautifully. So well done to the Al Iman College. Melton Secondary College Valedictory Dinner. There was a lot of tears for the Year 12s that were leaving, but I wish them all the best. And I saw that the teachers and the school council were very emotional as well. So good luck to those Year 12s. I know their ATAR scores will be coming in. I think it is on Thursday of this week, I believe it is. Make Festival of Lights, Diwali, the Mace Festival of Lights, sorry, Diwali fundraising for Beyond Blue. The opening of Cobblebank Station, that was wonderful to have Steve McGee and also Jacinta Allen and Sarah Henderson also in attendance. Great morning. Australian Sri Lankan Association Community Awareness Event, Melton City Council Community Care Volunteer Christmas Lunch. Maury, your singing of Elvis was absolutely wonderful. Well done, Mr. Maury. I know Councillor Hardy and Councillor Ramsey will agree with me. Disability Advisory Committee, International Day of People with Disability. We had a barbecue and a get-together, and well done, Les. You did a great job on that sausage sizzle, so thank you very much. Cool Kids Kinder Graduation, Caroline Springs Rotary's first birthday of the Farmers Market, so well done to Caroline Springs. I can't believe it's already a year from when they first came to present to us with that initiative, so they're a year on. Melbourne Chinese Cultural Association Celebration Day in Caroline Springs, Melton Pistol Club, Carols by Candlelight. Again, a wonderful event. Was a little bit cold, but at least it didn't rain, so that's okay. The Melton RSL Christmas Lunch. And can I just say congratulations to Carla Richardson, who was a first recipient of the Meritorious Membership Award, and she will go on the Honour Board. So well done to Carla Richardson. Seven citizenship ceremonies over November and December, which means that was close to 700 residents, and well done to Christine and John and their team for organising that. The huge announcement from the Andrews Labor Government in regards to our hospital, thank you so much to the Labor Government for that announcement. It was very welcomed. And also, if I can draw everyone's attention to this wonderful banner we have here, Shaping a City for the Future was the message that we sent out today to our local MPs who were in attendance. This is Council's vision to ensure the future well-being of our community, local members of Parliament working together and delivering the best outcomes for our community. I just want to say, please jump on our Council's website and have a read through this wonderful document. I'd like to thank again Mr. Peter Bean and Sean McManus and also Pauline Hobbs for the great work that they did this morning in putting that event together, and also all the councillors for adopting this great advocacy, City of Melton advocacy priorities. And it was, again, wonderful to have our local MPs all in there and listening and working together. And I'd like to thank the Honourable Natalie Hutchins also, who spoke about what the state government has delivered and that they look forward to continuing to work with this council. I also, and I'm probably over time, but I'm trying to wrap it all up, but I also want to make a special mention to Thon Chipperwop. He was a young man from Staunton College who has had a really difficult upbringing, and he spoke to us today, and he wants to become a doctor, and he'll be doing VCE next year, and he spoke to us about what he wants the City of Melton's future to look like and how it can, basically what he wants and how it can benefit him. So he was absolutely inspirational this morning. So I just want to make a special mention to Thon Chipperwop, but also his friends Bol and Deng, who also attended. I'd also like to take this opportunity to wish you all a very Merry Christmas. Please stay safe on the roads. Have a happy and safe and prosperous New Year if we don't see you return on the 16th of December special council meeting, and we look forward to seeing you all back in February in 2020. Thank you. How long was that, Pete? Okay, it was a bit long. Councillors, we'll move along now to item 15.1, notice of motion 661. Councillor Ramsay.
Thank you. The motion reads that the cost of the design for the community cultural centre with the performing arts component be referred to the 2020-21 budget for consideration.
Moved by Councillor Ramsay. Do I have a seconder? Or if any councillor seeks clarification? Sorry.
I'm happy to second that, Clinton Mayor.
Seconded by Councillor Mendes. Okay. Does anyone oppose the motion? If not, I'll put the motion to vote. All those in favour? All those against? Carried.
Madam Mayor, could I get a division, please?
Councillor Ramsay has called for a division. All those in favour? Councillor Maidlick, Councillor Kesich, Councillor Hardy, Councillor Ramsay, Councillor Mendes, Councillor Turner, Councillor Sabia, Councillor Carley. I declare it carried. Item 15.2, notice of motion 662, Councillor Carley. I will ask if Councillor Turner could please chair.
Councillor Carley obviously moving your motion. Do you wish to speak to it?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to move that council officers undertake an assessment of entrance treatments of established areas within the municipality and bring a report to council detailing the estate name, condition of entrance treatment, refurbishment required, and approximate cost and assessed priority. And Mr. Chair, if this is seconded, if I could please say a few words.
Of course. Don't Do I have a seconder for the motion?
Happy to second it, Mr.
Thank you, Councillor Medlick. Moved by Councillor Carley, and seconded by Councillor Medlick. Does any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour? I declare the motion carried.
Could I please call for a division, Mr. Chair?
Division called. All those in favour of the motion? Councillor Sabir, Councillor Carley, Councillor Medlick, Councillor Kesich, Councillor Hardy, Councillor Ramsey, Councillor Mendes, Councillor Turner, I declare division carried.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Councillors, thank you for accepting this motion. I think as a council, we have so much development that's happening across our municipality, and it's great to see all the new development and all the new facilities and all the entrances into those estates. But I think that we should never forget the established areas that we have, and sometimes they need a little bit of TLC, whether it be some, you know, some planting or some rendering or some painting into estates. So this is what this notice of motion will cover, and I look forward to a report from the officers. So thank you. Item 15.3, notice of motion 663. Councillor Maidlick.
Yes, thank you, Madam Mayor. I would like to move a motion and just add a dot point in the first dot, that council officers prepare a report to be brought back to council outlining all the outstanding elements to finalise and complete the City Vista precinct, including the upgrade of the City Vista play area, as well as the space in between the car park. Include in the report the costings for each element slash area, and include indication of timing for each of the elements to be completed, for i.e. where they are on the capital works program list, and also bring the report with all outstanding elements to the next councillor budget meeting for deliberation.
Thank you, Councillor Maidlick.
Madam Mayor, I would like to second it. Thank you.
Moved by Councillor Maidlick, seconded by Councillor Kesich. Does anyone oppose the motion? If no one opposes, I'll put it to the vote. All those in favour? All those against? I declare the motion carried. Item 15.4, notice of motion 664, Councillor Maidlick.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'd like to move that council officers write a report to council regarding the full costs in providing the necessary land and relevant services to the Beattie's Road Aquatic Facility. Dot point two, include the timelines of when these services are likely to be provided by the relevant stakeholders. Outline options as to what it would cost council to undertake or provide these services, and the possibility of joint partnership with relevant stakeholders to share these costs. Provide councillors the options, costs, requirements in completing the aquatic facility by the year 2023. Discuss these costs and options at the upcoming budget council budget deliberations in February. Do I need to add 2020 with that? Or would we just leave it at February?
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Maidlick.
Madam Mayor, I would like to second it. Please do it. Thank you.
Seconded by Councillor Kesich. Does anyone oppose the motion? If no one opposes the motion, I will put it to the vote. All those in favour? All those against? I declare the motion carried.
Madam Mayor, could I have a call for a division?
Councillor Maidlick has called for a division. All those in favour? Councillor Maidlick, Councillor Kesich, Councillor Hardy, Councillor Ramsey, Councillor Mendes, Councillor Turner, Councillor Sabir, Councillor Carley. I declare it carried. Item 16, Councillors' Questions Without Notice. Councillor Ramsey.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. In our courthouse square, the old visitors' information, which then became Little Gems, seems to be vacant at the moment. I was just wondering what Council's intent was for that area.
Through you, Madam Mayor. Are you talking about the actual facility, the former courthouse?
Yes.
We're just currently finalising some design plans as far as trying to refurbish the cafe and reopen it, I guess.
And what's the timeline for that?
We are finalising drawings this week on that, and we'd be hoping to sort of go out to quotation early in January, and I would be expecting to have a report back to Council, if not at the February meeting, the March meeting, to advise of the terms and conditions of the renovation and any leasing changes that may be required.
Thank you, Mr. Bean. Madam Mayor, I've got one more question, if I could. The buses that go to Macassar Rise, they sort of stop right there now. Windara Estate is in your state that's developing, and a lot of the kids have to travel or walk down to Macassar to get on a bus. Do we know when PTV, is it, will extend the bus route to these new estates?
Through Madam Mayor, I'll need to take that on notice. It's Transport for Victoria. We constantly work with them to try and have them expand their network as the community grows, but I'll need to take that particular network on notice and provide further advice.
Thank you, Mr. Shadow.
Councillor Hardy.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Mayor. It's more of a statement. Look, in relation to 12.12, I have extensive folders in relation to the letter to the Minister. If you need them, they're available. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Hardy. Are there any other councillors' questions without notice?
I've got a couple, Councillor.
Councillor Mendes.
I'd like an update, if I possibly can, on the Diggers Rest Hotel. And the second question I'm going to have is, two of our residents have been surveyed in January about the upcoming works on their roads or design of their roads. How will that survey look, and when will it be conducted?
Through you, Madam Mayor, the first question relates to the refurbishment of the Diggers Rest Hotel, which was sadly burnt down some years ago. Council might recall that a planning permit for the redevelopment of that site was issued in November of last year, which included the restoration of the hotel, accommodation, a distillery, a function centre and so forth. Unfortunately, that permit has not been acted on at this point. The permit's still valid. And I did note that in a Metropolitan paper maybe 4 or 5 months ago, the site was actually advertised for sale. So I don't know whether the property's changed hands or not. So at the moment, I can't provide any further particulars as to what's happening there. In relation to the Toolumbale roads within the township of Toolumbale, Council has allocated, I think it was $150,000 in this financial year to commence the design process for construction. There is a consultation process that has previously taken place with residents, and a further consultation program was to be undertaken once further details are known about what that could look like. I would need to take further advice from my staff as to exactly where that's at, but I'm happy to take that on notice and provide you further advice where we're at with that next step. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Mendes. Mr. Shannon, I have two questions. Can I please have an update on the safety bollard installation on the corner of Hume Drive and Calder Park Drive in Taylor's Hill?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. That intersection was included in this year's budget for the installation of bollards, as you pointed out. I am aware that the detailed design of those works has been completed, and the officers are now working through how to install them whilst avoiding the underground services that exist typically at an intersection like that. So I'd hope over the next couple of weeks we'll better understand what the program will be for installation and moving forward with that work.
Thank you. And my second question is, could I please have an update on the right-hand turning lane into Taylor's Hill Village Shopping Centre from Goulet Road?
Thank you. That's another project that was funded in this financial year, so that involves installing a turning lane in the existing median strip. I am aware that work has also been fully designed. There is a power pole that does need to be relocated as part of those works, and we've seeking to commission for that work to be done, and then once that's done, then the construction works can happen. So I'm sorry I can't provide further exact particulars as to when the construction work will happen, but it is well underway.
Thank you, Mr. Shannon. Does any other councillor have any other questions without notice? If not, motions without notice. Nil. Urgent business. Nil. Councillors,
We'll move along to item 19, confidential business.
Madam Mayor, I'd like to move a procedural motion that pursuant to section 89(2) of the Local Government Act 1989, the meeting be closed to the public to consider the following reports that are considered confidential for the reasons indicated under agenda item 19.1, 19.2 and 19.3.
Thank you, Councillor Maidlick.
I'd like to second that, Madam Mayor.
Moved by Councillor Maidlick, seconded by Councillor Ramsay. Does anyone oppose the motion? If no one opposes the motion, I'll put it to the vote. All those in favour? All those against? I declare the motion carried. Thank you. For the members of the gallery, Councillor is now going to discuss some confidential matters. Please help yourself with some tea and coffee and some biscuits out there in the foyer, and we'll join you shortly. Thank you for attending.
Madam Mayor.